In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Dear friends in Christ, at the end of the 18th century, there was a girl from Germany, and she immigrated here to the United States, more specifically the state of Pennsylvania. And making that transition of going from the old world to the new world was difficult. But one thing she held on to, she says, despite not being there and new surroundings and hoping for the future things would be better, she realized that she was a child of God and had a great dignity because she was baptized and she was incorporated into God's family as an adopted member. And as time went on, she learned how to embroider and sew and do all these things. And she made this blanket, and she embroidered this design, a motto, into the blanket with these words. It says, "I have been baptized. Even if I die, how can the cold grave do me harm? I know my homeland and my inheritance, which I have with God in heaven. After I die, there is prepared for me the joy of heaven and the robe of glory. I have been baptized. I stand in covenant through my baptism with my God. So say I always with glad lips, in crosses, tribulations, troubles, and needs, I have been baptized. I rejoice in that. The joy remains forever." She was filled with great wisdom because she knew that truth, that our true homeland is not Germany, not someplace in the United States, not someplace on the face of the earth. Our true homeland is in the kingdom of heaven with God. And that the moment that we are baptized, a wonderful miracle takes place. The original sin which we were born with is wiped away. Sanctifying grace is infused in the soul. Our Father in heaven looks down and he sees the image of his Son in our soul. And we become an adoptive member of God and an heir to the kingdom of heaven. In this particular gospel here, we have our Lord being baptized. Now, it's not the baptism of the sons that we think of being washed from sin. Jesus did not need to be washed from sin. He's the Holy One of God. The Church Father says, the Catechism of the Church says, that Jesus Christ entered into the waters to sanctify the waters, to purify the waters for all times. And when we enter to the sacrament of baptism, that we may be purified and live a life with Him. Well, something happens to us as it did to Jesus when the water pours. When we come up, a little baby or they're adult and they're baptized, God the Father says the same words. "You are my beloved son," or "You are my beloved daughter. With you, I am well pleased." It's not just a ceremony we're going through. It's a sacrament. One of the seven sacraments the Lord gave us is a wonderful, wonderful transformation that takes part. And it's so important that Holy Mother Church teaches in the canon law and church law that when a couple has a child, that within the first few weeks of life, to have that child baptized so they could be incorporated into God's family as soon as possible, not to unnecessarily to delay that. And even if a Catholic were to marry someone that's non-Catholic or non-Christian, they have to make those promises that, yes, I love and cherish my Catholic faith, and if God blesses with children, make that promise that we will baptize in them in the Catholic faith. Now, why do we do baptism? The very first reason, because Jesus Christ mandated it. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, he said, "All power in heaven has been given to me," just before he ascends to heaven. And he says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." How? "Baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." And we have John's Gospel, John chapter 3, where Nicodemus comes to our Lord in the evening. They don't want to be seen with the Lord during the day. He comes and he says, "Lord, I know we've seen miracles. We know that you're the Holy One of God." And they're talking about eternal life. And the Lord says, "Well, amen, amen, I say to you, no one has eternal life unless they're born from above." And then the discussion goes on. Nicodemus says, "Well, what are you talking about?" And the Lord says, "By water and the Spirit." So by the waters that poured over our head at baptism, the Spirit of God enters into us. We become a child of God. And only through that can we enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, the Acts of the Apostles, I'm just going to touch on this briefly, but if you read just the Acts of the Apostles, that's the Holy Spirit, the infant church, our Lord just ascended, we see right what happens with all the apostles, disciples. St. Peter, in chapter 2, it's the Pentecost speech. The Holy Spirit just come down upon him in a powerful way, and the apostles, disciples, and our lady. And he gets up and he preaches Jesus Christ, and you must believe in him. And so they listen to what Peter's saying. Peter's saying, it's because of your sins, and you're the one that crucified him. And they're trembling. They say, well, what must we do to have eternal life? And they were trembling at their heart. And St. Peter says, well, you must repent, realize the sin that you've committed, realize that you're sinners. And then does it stop there? No. Repent and be baptized. And be baptized. It's so vitally, vitally important. Now, there's a couple more examples, and there's loads of examples in here. We have in Acts chapter 8, we have the story of Philip and the Ethiopian. The Ethiopian is reading the scriptures. He's trying to understand this. And the Holy Spirit takes Philip to the Ethiopian. And then they realize the importance of baptism. And then the Ethiopian says, wait, there's water over there. Can I be baptized? And Philip says, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And then he says, I believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He realized he's a sinner. And he received baptism. And then you have the act, you have Paul and Silas. They're in prison. This is Acts chapter 16. They're in prison. Earthquake takes place. The guard of that prison is like, uh-oh. These prisoners now are escaped. He's assuming they've already escaped. They're going to cut my head off. I might as well just take my life. And Paul says, no. We're here. And then he starts talking to the jailer about Jesus Christ. And this guy's just blown away. These guys won't have an escape. And he took them into his home, the jailer. He washed their wounds. And then he brought them to Christ. And then he and all of his family were baptized. So the church is taught right from the beginning that we believe in infant baptism, right? Baptize mom, dad, the little kids. So baptism is so very important. You see, it's prevalent in the Acts of the Apostles, the necessity of baptism to have eternal life. Now I'm going to mention this. This usually comes up if you have this question. Father, you know, when I first got married and my wife miscarried a baby, where's that child? You know, we had all the intentions that we wanted the best for our child. The Catechism of the Catholic Church says we entrust them to the mercy of God. And God takes the intention, everything that the parents would want for that child, in a special way, and we know that God somehow in his great mercy could use us. So we trust in God. We trust in God. So God sees that intention. Now, our Holy Father, Pope Benedict XVI, we are so blessed with this Holy Father. He's just very holy and brilliant, and he knows the faith inside and out. And every year, around this time, the Holy Father in the Sistine Chapel baptizes children, usually ones from the Vatican City there, connected with the family. And so he usually gives a sermon, obviously, about baptism, its importance. And every year he looks at a different aspect. So this is from 2012. So we'll share just a couple things. There's three points he makes. He says, being baptized means being united with God in a single new existence. We belong to God. We are immersed in God himself. He talks about it's a new existence. A new existence that takes place. We can't see it visibly. We have the white baptismal garment to symbolize it, but there's a new existence. And he says this. Thinking of this, here's a couple of the benefits of what happens with baptism. First is that God is no longer very distant from us. He exists, he says. He is with us. This closeness to God matters in our lives. This being in God himself, who's not a distant star, but is in the environment of my life. The God, you know, the divine indwelling, that you become a temple of the Holy Spirit. First. Second, this is the second consequence of what I have said, a benefit, is that we do not make ourselves Christians. Right? Sometimes we think, well, I'm going to make myself a Christian. I'm going to become a Christian. He said, well, no. He said, of course, my decision is always necessary, but above all is an action of God with me. It is not I who make myself a Christian. I am taken up by God, taken in hand by God. And in this way, saying yes to the action of God, I become a Christian. Just as we do not say, I live, I now exist. No. God brings you into existence. Same thing with becoming a Christian. God moves you with the Holy Spirit and you come and then he makes you a Christian through the sacrament. And the third is that immediately open in this perspective is that naturally being immersed in God, I'm united with others. Okay? So first, we're united with God and to his family. It's God's grace, his gift that he gives us to us. You receive that. And then third, we're united with each other. You and I, we could call each other brothers and sisters in Christ. Think about that. Brothers and sisters in Christ. I am united with my brothers and sisters because all the others are in God. And if I am drawn out of my isolation, if I am immersed in God, I am immersed in communion with others. Now this beautiful dignity we receive, we can lose it. It's vitally important to live in a state of sanctifying grace. How we lose this dignity is basically by falling into mortal sin. So if you do something that's a serious matter, full knowledge, full consent, what we do by our own free will is like we step away from what God wants, God's will, and we do it our own way. And God is a loving God. He's a patient God. When he makes you a Christian, he doesn't like hold you here, okay, you lose your free will. We still have our free will. So it's an ongoing thing. So what we should do on a regular basis is ask the Lord, especially when we receive communion, Lord, thank you for the graces that you gave me in baptism. I became your child in Christ. Renew those graces. Renew them in my heart. We receive such a great dignity. Sometimes I fear, let me read from the, this is from the rite of baptism, to make a point here. After the priest or deacon performs the baptism, we pour the water, we do the anointing of the sacred chrism, then we put a white garment on the child, and we say, you have become a new creation and have clothed yourself in Christ. See in this white garment the outward sign of your Christian dignity with your family and friends to help you by word of example, here we go, to bring that dignity unstained into the everlasting life of heaven. So don't discard this or forget the dignity that you have. And thanks be to God, I try to remind people of baptism. When your children start getting a little bit older, they start being able to speak. They may start speaking back at you. They may start speaking lies, etc. Other thing, you see the effects of original sin. Original sin are wiped away. There's still effects there by which God permits that we could show our love for him by overcoming these and going in virtue. So we have the sacrament of confession. So this day, we contemplate this gift that God has given us, this gift of baptism. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Because Jesus Christ is Lord. He is Savior. He is the true God. You know, we don't worship Muhammad. That's not a God, right? There's a demonic spirit appeared to Muhammad, so that wasn't, it was, well, St. Paul said, beware of the devil, sometimes could appear as an angel of light. But we worship the true God, and we belong to him. And God loves us. He loves us immensely. And isn't it wonderful? I think about it quite a bit. He gives us this great dignity at baptism. But how many times do we mess up? We forget that dignity. He gives us confession. Thank you, Jesus. Confession. And then as we get older, all right, then he gives the sacrament of confirmation to strengthen those graces that we received at baptism. So let's all have this an attitude of gratitude this day for the gift that we have. That we are really and truly children of God by adoption through baptism. In the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.